2 of What Do We Think About Life? What do we think about things, Dan? We live in a world where everyone has opinions, and I think it's important that in the midst, the world never ceases to give us things to talk about. Am I right?
Indeed.
So I'm Ben, you're Dan. I don't think I introduced this last episode, but
they're probably wondering, who are those two guys?
We are two of the teaching pastors here at Life Fellowship
Church. We've left the scene
of the crime. And we're doing this quick two-part episode on what's going on in the world today. What thoughts, what ideas do you think we should share with our church family to make sure they're thinking biblically about some of these things? Getting away from kind of the groupthink that I think is very typical. So, Dan, I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on the Trump trial?
Oh, my God.
What do you think about it, Dan? I wish, if you're watching this on video, Dan's face was so good. Uh-huh. That was so good. He was not ready for it. He wasn't ready for it.
Which is surprising.
Because you know people are going to get upset.
Yeah.
You know this is going
to
happen.
I'm ready to give my answer, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm ready for my answer. Yeah. What's your answer?
Well, my episode.
This is about to become your episode.
My response is this. I think the trials are scams. I really do.
In what way? What does that mean?
I think that he is being held up to special prosecution by left-leaning DAs and so forth for things that other people would not get prosecuted for, and that bugs me. I also think he's one of the biggest slime buckets in American history. So between those two things, I have pretty much alienated everybody listening to me right now.
Can I just say this? Because I've known you for 35 years, I think.
At least.
Yeah. Dan's opinion on Donald Trump has never changed.
No. I didn't like him when he was on television.
What you just heard from Dan about Donald Trump has been consistently... been true.
It shows the nuance, though. I don't think we're giving Dan enough appreciation for how nuanced that answer was, given how Dan has always felt about Trump, that he was able to also find the common ground yet with the other side that would say some of these trials seem a little bit aggressive.
Donald Trump's character embodies everything I don't respect in a human being.
Yes.
He has a low view of women. Mm-hmm. He has a low view of truth. Mm-hmm. He has high view of himself. He's arrogant. He's pompous. He's not loyal because if it'll serve his purposes, he doesn't. I don't care how close he'll throw you under the bus every. I mean, I could go on and on and on about this. And people always want to say
anyone.
The only virtue he has is that he's not Joe Biden.
Right.
And that's enough for many, many people to vote for him. Right. I'm just not one of those people.
Right.
Nor would I vote for Joe Biden. But nobody ever questions me because I won't vote for Joe Biden. They question me because I won't vote for Donald Trump. Yeah. And my reason for that is to me, character counts more than politics or power.
And again, going back to before people get all upset.
Yeah.
What you just said was the conservative Christian opinion forever.
Forever.
Was the major thing argument against Bill Clinton, why he should not be president.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We owe Bill Clinton a huge apology.
Yep.
We really do.
Well, if we're going to,
other way. Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the other thing too is I'm a conservative. Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's a populist. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand the difference between being a conservative and being a populist. And for some, I understand. And you're right. We're Americans. We get to have our opinions. We get to vote for whoever we want to. We walk in the voting booth. Mm-hmm. And it's nobody else's business. But to justify a wrong based on the fact that somebody else is worse, it's cliche, but politics is filled with stupid cliches anyway. But two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
The lesser of two evils is still evil.
Yeah.
And I happen to believe in the sovereignty of God enough to know that I believe this, that if Donald Trump gets reelected, that this could be as much a part of God's judgment on this nation as it is a part of salvation. I don't know which it will be. But if you put a gun to my head and said, you got to choose which one you think more, I think it's more judgment.
Just to put this fact out there, I would have agreed until recently that he's a populist. But in his own words, he is saying he wants to be a dictator for at least one day.
Yeah.
So a lot of the moves that he's making are beyond populism.
Yeah, and I mean, so much of that is typical Trump rhetoric, because I've made that joke myself. I would never want to be president, but I'd love to be dictator for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I know that sounds dangerous, but it's hyperbolic to make, you know, stupid political point. But my argument would be, if you want to see whether or not he's conservative or not, look at his emerging and evolving views on the pro-life issue. Mm-hmm. So he is whatever works for him politically. He's the ultimate pragmatist politically and business-wise in every other area and morally in every other issue. Yep. And so all you got to do is go to 2 Corinthians and I'm sorry.
Right. That's true.
That's petty, I know.
You could always hold up a Bible weirdly.
Or you could also exploit many brain-dead Christians into buying a Bible that pays his legal bills.
God Bless the USA songs. Yeah.
Okay. And again, you know what? If you're listening to me, and I've just ticked you off, I'm sincerely. I don't talk this way in the pulpit. I don't talk about him at all in the pulpit. And this is Dan. This is not Pastor Dan.
Yeah. So. Okay. So my thoughts on the Trump trials. Number one, I think that it's really hard to make Trump a sympathetic figure, but the left has figured out a way to do it.
I would agree on that.
Which is so dumb. Hmm. It is. I mean, you know how, like, in the 2020 election, Trump just had to be quiet and just not talk, and he kept talking, right? Like he just
he would be a president right now if he just shut his mouth.
If he would have shut his mouth, he'd be president today. Okay, so there's that issue. But now the left is doing things, you're like, you're making him a sympathetic figure, which is really hard to do. But they are weaponizing the court system to attack him in a way that makes normal Americans, I'm not talking about conservatives, I'm talking about middle of the road, even young people who see what's going on and say, that scares me, to vote for the party that's doing that to that man. I might not like Trump, but what they're doing scares me. And so I think there is some concern that if Trump ends up winning, the left DA, this whole thing, they have nothing but to blame themselves for this.
Yeah, and this is where I go back to that. This is where we're in crisis in our legal system. Whenever you can begin prosecuting your political enemies while using selective prosecution, we have jumped the shark.
Yeah,
we are in a dangerous, dangerous position. And because you know what's going to happen if you end up electing a Republican president for 8 years in a row or so, or a Republican Congress for 8 years in a row, then they're going to go after the left.
Oh, yeah. We've kind of crossed the line of now.
So now we've become a banana republic where you run for office, you lose, you better leave the country because you're going to jail or you're going to lose your business or you're going to – you know, we've created this. And the other thing I think is true is we have hardened our politics so much in this country that I honestly believe if he was sitting in a jail cell, if he was going to win outside the jail cell, I think he'd still win in the jail cell.
I completely agree.
I think the opinions are so hardened at this point and our country's so deeply divided. It's going to be a razor thin election, which I love elections. So I'm going to stay up and watch it to the very end because I love the drama, but I don't plan on going to bed that night because I think
we go back to our prediction episode. I said, we're not going to find out who wins on November, whatever.
Oh, we got to pull that out. Cause I can't remember even what I predicted.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you one prediction.
Bringing it out at the end of the year.
Dan predicted he would lose 20 pounds or die. That is the one prediction I remember you made.
I am 8 pounds down, bro.
Woo!
8 pounds
Yay!
Down.
Nice. Well done. Everyone keep cheering on Dan. All right.
And by the way, I do want to say this again.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the reasons I hold this position with Trump is my personal values. But I also understand this. A lot of people see it differently. In my own family, we can't watch the news. We really can't. I turn it off when we're in the room together. And so even in my own family, in my own house, and there's only two of us most of the time, so you can guess who the other person is, we don't see eye to eye.
Okay.
If I can love my wife through this, I can love you. Faithful church member and conservative Christian friends.
So. Okay. Well, that was
and I hope you can love me back.
All right. So do you have something for me?
Yes, I do. All right. So recently, there's been a big controversy. Again, I'm asking you kind of faith-based ones, but there's been a big controversy about the reemergence of Mark Driscoll.
Okay.
Mark Driscoll.
Oh, yeah.
And recently there was an incident at the James River Assemblies of God Church in Springfield, Missouri, which is where the headquarters of the Assemblies of God is. Okay. It's a huge mega church.
Everybody buckle up. This is a weird story.
Yeah. And so they're having this big men's rally, which is always over the top because that's what charismatics do. I'm sorry if you're charismatic, but it's the truth. And so they have monster trucks driving through the auditorium. I really don't care. It's a men's rally. It's not a church service. So they have all these kind of things. They bring in a sword swallower. And
I think one year they brought in a tank and shot like
and
tank shells at
things. And they shoot guns in the afternoon. Yeah. And it's a lot of testosterone and silliness. But we guys like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they bring in this sword swallower and he rips his shirt off because he's buff. And he's got a pole that he climbs up and that shows off his physique.
Yeah.
So the next, after this big show and he's swallowing swords and, you know, everybody whooping and hollering, Mark Driscoll comes out and he says, this man has the spirit of Jezebel in him, that he's basically a wannabe stripper. He's probably questioned his sexual orientation.
He was a male stripper. We didn't know that.
Yeah. So he just keeps going on and on and on, rebuking. Right. And then, so the Pastor Lindell sitting out in the audience shouts up, "You're finished, you're done." It's quite dramatic.
Yeah.
And he kicks him off the platform, and the controversy just hasn't gone away. It keeps going and going and going and going.
Okay.
And so Lindell apologized. Driscoll calls Lindell's son, tries to get him to do a coup.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps on going. So what do you think of this whole sordid mess, Pastor Ben? Was Mark Driscoll right? Was he wrong? Was Lindell right? Was he wrong? Or are they both just the apostates I think they are?
I think Mark.
It's not a leading question at all.
Sorry.
I think that Mark Driscoll is always looking for a way to make a name for Mark Driscoll.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I was invited to speak at that event, I'm just telling you what I would have done. And again, it's hard because we would have
stripped off his shirt.
Nope, I would have not done that. I probably would have just gone over and told the pastor, "I'm not going to get up after that. I'm going to leave, and you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm not going to get up there." Driscoll, and I know some people love what Mark Driscoll did, but when you understand who Mark Driscoll is, he is a narcissist of the first degree. Mm-hmm. What he did in Mars Hill.
Yeah, and if you haven't read the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, Google it. It's one of the best podcast series ever.
Yep.
You cannot see and hear and interpret what Mark Driscoll does without that kind of context. And so it doesn't surprise me that he did what he did because he's looking for people to.
And he's got a book coming out.
Yeah, he's looking to always control the room and to be the tough guy who's confronting the problem, even if he has to create the problem. And so this is what he does. It doesn't surprise me, but I think that he made the issue about him and not about the issue. If Mark Driscoll just didn't show up, like he was scheduled to speak, and all of a sudden Pastor Lindell gets up and says, Mark decided not to come up and speak, then there's there was an honorable way to handle the situation behind the scenes, confrontation. Hey, what I see up here is not right. I can't get up there in good conscience and preach a sermon on God's word knowing that this is the kind of stuff that's promoted. Yeah.
Or even you could have said, you know, that made me a little uncomfortable and here's why. Yeah. You could have had a conversation. Yes.
You could have a private conversation.
Or even if he had to say something publicly, he could have said it in a way that wasn't as inflammatory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a Driscoll fan at any level.
So I think that, you have the fans of the prophetic, attack. Because here's the thing. When I look at what happened on the stage, when I look at kind of the spirit of these men's conferences that do this kind of stuff, that's just as disgusting to me. Because the reality is we're trying to use the means of the world to attract people to Jesus. And why can't we just use the cross and the call of Jesus to attract people to the call to God? Why do we have to package Jesus with tanks and sword swallowers and AR-15s? Like that's so antithetical to the call of Jesus. He never tried to put on a show to attract people to himself. And so I just think there is a spirit of men's ministry that I think is so broken in the world today. It's about this macho-ness that has nothing to do with biblical Christianity.
It's the Jake Paul.
Yeah, it just is so disturbing to me. So I think they're wrong on both sides, but I think they're wrong for different reasons. And I think you need to. First of all, I would never go to a men's event that was like, we're shooting off tanks and sword swallowers and we're giving out AR-15s because that is
they're giving out AR-15s.
Now, Dan.
wait a second. Maybe I'm...
They're not giving out AR-15s. Let's just say that.
So I think that they both have issues, but they both have issues for different reasons.
How much of this do you think psychologically is a reaction to John Eldridge and like the whole kind of like wild at heart thing? Like, is that kind of led to this?
My question was, how much of it is trying to recapture the phenomenon that was Promise Keepers?
Also a good question.
Yeah, but even Promise Keepers was respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, there's this kind of spirit of macho-ness. A guy by the name of Andrew Tate.
That's the guy I aimed to say a while ago. Okay. I said Jake Paul by
this,
name.
This kind of this uber macho-ness that is so antithetical to biblical masculinity, it's like biblical manhood. It's anti-women. It's just disgusting. And I think there is almost like a tinge of that.
Absolutely.
Like, how can we be as macho as possible to attract these guys? Yeah. And that's just not. It's not appealing to me.
Well, it's also an overreaction to militant feminism as I see it. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of, and I know this to be the case, a lot of young men feel squashed. Mm-hmm. They feel like their masculinity has been basically tortured to death by the culture.
They're not allowed to.
Right. So yeah, when you over-tighten a spring, it always overreacts and you know, you got a big mess on your hands. Yep. And I think this would make a good episode at some point to talk about the rise of the man child and the calamity of the loss of masculinity in a biblical definition in our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's a couple of things going on, but to me, this is just kind of like soap opera drama that I try not to get in the middle. I hear it. I understand. I know you got to have an opinion on it, but I think Mark Driscoll is just a narcissist idiot, and I think some of these men's conferences are just stupid.
That was Dan worthy.
That was as
blunt as a Missouri boomer.
I said a lot of words prior to what I just said, but right. That's pretty much
but
sums
in the
up
end,
my
the TLDR. End.
So can we not just say let's have men's gatherings that focus on sacrifice, that focus on us giving our lives, loving our wives like Jesus loves the church, that there's a sense of protector and leader and one who knows how to also care and let's just follow the model of Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's not follow the model of the world of what a man is. And I just, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it really calls for discernment on our parts. I mean, I know you get it. I get it. Every pastor in the world gets it. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, have you heard of this preacher on the internet? Have you seen this YouTube preacher? And man, he's really good. I wish you'd listen to him, which is, by default saying,
right.
You're
sorry. I wish
sorry.
You were more
like
him.
I get that every single day. But there's a lot of garbage out there. There's a lot. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line also, and this is part of our philosophy, Ben, I know it's your heart, is you and I are not celebrities. You and you and I are not trying to. We want
fame
to get,
is a curse.
Fame is a
fame
curse.
Fame is a curse.
We want to proclaim the truth, but we want the truth to be more important than the proclaimer.
Yeah.
And this was the model of John the Baptist, and I think it ought to be something that when we worry too much about our cliques and
platforms,
and
influences,
those things, we've lost sight of the high and holy calling. Some of the most important prophets, speakers, preachers, and evangelists in the Bible died.
Yeah.
They were not popular.
Yeah.
They were murdered.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of people today willing to speak the truth in such a way that they would have to sacrifice for saying it because there's enough people who will cheer on unbiblical behavior.
Yeah. So. All right. Well,
politicians and preachers.
That's right. Dan, I don't have anything else for you. Do you have anything else for me?
I do, but we only have a minute 37, so we'll save it for
you. You don't think I can answer these in a minute?
Oh, no. All right. Because, I like a loaded question.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I will do my homework. I'll get something I can ask you about next time as well.
Well, I think you pretty well did.
I like loaded questions being the name of the series.
All right, we'll do loaded questions.
This will be the bit. Every once in a while, we're going to do loaded questions episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Because these questions have been loaded. That's exactly what all
And I
of
do
these
like the idea of not prepping the other person because we get the raw raw answer that
so dangerous. This is like playing with a loaded gun.
It's not a live stream. It's okay. There's a safety net here.
Okay, well, thank you again for joining us on Life Talks. I hope that this has been intriguing, inspiring, encouraging, challenging to our thoughts on how we think about life, how we think about the stories of the day. We always have to align. Listen, everything that Dan and I have said today, check it with God's word. Mm-hmm. We are not the authorities. God's word is the authority. We hope that our minds, our hearts have been shaped by the word of God. And we've done our best to share that with you today. Thank you again for joining us on Life Talks. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.